alma mater, remember, with their academic ineptness, self-reported everything, and they got slathered.
Yeah, well,
just bloodied.
That's a good point. If you're going to just pummel somebody, especially a small school, for coming forward anyway,
Why would you ever admit anything?
Eventually, they're going to be like, look, if you're just going to take all this stuff away from us, come and get us.
Yeah, come find us, and we'll hide behind attorneys
yeah.
and law and legal and all that. But that's what they did to Mary Harden Baylor, and they did that to Stephen F. Austin. Oklahoma State got hammered, too, but it's not KU or North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I just the vacating of wins and saying that they didn't win the national championship is just – it's just overkill for me.
So the story today is that they denied the appeal.
Yeah, they denied the appeal.
That UMHB cannot reclaim that national championship. They cannot reclaim those wins.
Nope. Didn't they win it the year he was suspended? Didn't they win it the year he was suspended?
Yeah.
Did they come back to win it that year, which was glorious?
Yeah, they did.
Glorious. All right. We're now joined by Alan Hare. He's the head football coach at Salado. Last year's team, of course, went a couple of rounds deep in the playoffs, and he's done an incredible job there. I put this down, Alan, and thanks for being a part of the show. 31-17, sure. This is your fifth year. 31-17, but the three previous years, with all due respect to who was there, they were 2-29. What changed?
Well, we had to change the relationship that we have with kids. You know, there's other things to do to play football and play to America. So, we had to give them a reason to be a part of what we're doing. And so I had to get to know them and get to know them in order to coach them. And so I just tried to build relationships first and try to prove them if we work, or good things might happen. I never talk about how much we're going to win. We talk about how hard we're going to work. And if you work, then you have a chance to win. And that's kind of how we got going.
Did the kids pretty much take to that?
Well, luckily, you know, I was in a situation where they were willing to give me a chance because what they did in the past didn't work. You know, I've been in a couple of situations where you take over for somebody else. You never talk about the past, but you learn from it. And so they were willing to give me an opportunity to institute our program and institute what we do offensively and defensively and give me a chance. That was it. We had several seniors come back out that hadn't played in a couple of years, that 2016 team. So that helped. You know, that, hey, they had some struggles, and let's give this new guy a chance. And me being from here, and I had coached here previously, it's not, you know, Slade don't mean something to me. So that's where they were able to give me a little commitment there.
Coach, how do you feel like the Salado football program has handled all the obstacles going on here lately, particularly coronavirus? How has that altered things for you guys? How do you feel like you've handled it?
Well, you know, I guess all of us are learning. There's nobody we can call and say, hey, how'd you handle this when it happened to you? And so, luckily, we're all venturing in this together. But as good as you could, you know, we rolled out some different programs as far as if you have weights at home or if there's body weight workouts, there's different apps you can put out that kids can get on and work out. And they're supposed to, you know, kind of clock in, clock out over that period that we all take weeks, 9 weeks, something like that. And we gave them a reason to work out. But once we started, you could tell that none of them were ready to actually jump back in at full scale. So, you know, we just acclimated slowly. You know, we went 4 days a week. You know, the UIL gave us five. I felt like Monday through Thursday is good enough as far as what we want to do is get them to acclimate to what we're doing. And we went 2 days a week with the sports specific because I want them still to look forward to it in August, even though we missed some weeks in the spring. You know, I want them to be excited about coming back and seeing us in August as well. But we're still learning, you know, with the rise in numbers and you know, rotations of groups and sanitizing on groups in and out of the weight room. We kind of treat the weight room like a hospital. We make them squirt in and squirt out. You know, we're not all in the weight room anymore. You've got groups all over the place working out. So that's just been some auxiliary issues we had to handle for us, dividing them up, keeping your groups small, and then keeping them safe when they're there. And, well, we're just thankful that so far we've been able to keep working out. We've seen a ton of guys that have suspended those workouts, and you know, that's sad for those guys.
Are you nervous at all that you might not even have a season?
I think you know, certainly to say that I'm not would be something that I would be telling the truth. Here's the situation, though. I don't really want to go to school and not have something to look forward to. I mean, there's a place for education. I'm on 40. You know, when I played Little League Baseball and it rained in the afternoon, I was going to pout and cry. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe we can't play.
Yep.
So can you imagine these kids and the motivation they'll have in the hallway and the morale of what just the plan for your school year being taken away? And we're venturing into that medieval study hall where all we're going to do is hit the book. We're not going to have any activities. I just can't see it. And, I don't know how I would handle that.
Yeah, don't kids need the mix of things to avoid just a slog of every day?
Run that by me again.
Don't they need a mix of things in their life? I mean, otherwise it's just kind of a drag, a slog every day.
You imagine, you know, we serve a whole purpose as far as that educational curriculum of overcoming adversity, and we teach them to overcome some things, but, you know, seeing them on a daily basis and having your platform of people say, don't get to class, be on time, pay attention, sit up front, you know, all those things. And what am I going to hold over their head now? You know, we're going to go, you know, 16, 18 months of, for some of these guys that off season type training, before they get the reward of a season, that would be tough. That would be tough to handle. And, I don't really want to, you know, venture off into that thought. I hope we can have something. Not all districts are made up with 16s where you have five games toward the end there. Some things are the state, it's a 10 district. So, you know, I don't know how we could do it if we don't have a full season. Do you have 5 weeks and how would you qualify? How would you advance? And you think about kids too, that whether they're 12 or the drill team, or the band, the cheerleaders, you know, all those people put in lots of hours. And, not to be able to showcase their talents, but just heartbreaking.
Yeah, you know, it's part of growing up. It's part of learning to compete. It's part of learning about life. It's all about safety as well, but it just seems like we're in such a, I don't know if it's ever going to be normal again. All right, you lose 1,252 yards. If you don't mind, I'll talk a little football, but Hunter Turk is gone. He was a fantastic fullback, running back for you. He was on our all Central Texas team as well. 1,252 yards, 17 touchdowns. I know you've got some young running backs. How do you replace him, or can you?
Well, you don't. We just find another, you know, our guards are really fullbacks, and fullbacks are guards. We find another tough kid that we'll venture off in there and run it up tough. And so, we'll miss Hunter Turk, but two of the other guys that were in the backfield, Rook Brown will be back. He had 1,150 yards, and then Reed Vincent, the tailback, I think had 1,250. They'll be back, but we're going to have to find a fullback. And right now, there was a younger kiddo named Noah Mesher that will be a senior this year that's got some experience, played some safety last year for us, but on JV played some fullback, and he's got that same knack of learning how to, you know, find the seam and run tough up in there. But yeah, graduation, you know, happens, and they have to move on. It's one of the parts of the process that's hard to see them leave. Everybody has it, but yeah, he'll be one we have to replace for sure.
Paul, anything else?
Nope.
You mentioned you had to get to know the kids, and you obviously have done a good job, and I mentioned the record is just completely different than what it was. How important was it, despite success or not, how important was that win against Belleville? Because that you were a quarterfinal round team. We're talking you were among, like, the last of the last that's still alive in 17. You had a fantastic team. What message can that send for a long time, you guys getting to that point and getting past Belleville?
Well, I think it's huge if you look back in the history of what was going on there. They lost to my first year here. We lost to those guys in the second round. We had actually advanced that year. We beat LaGrange, and LaGrange had previously been in district with Salado and had, you know, put some good beat downs on them. And so we got over that hump, and then Belleville took us out. And then we were able to play Belleville that next year. And it was a thrilling game that, we were able to win in overtime. And then we went on to face West Orange, who, of course, the
right.
State championship, and just a fantastic program. And, you know, it was 14-0, but we felt like it was a little closer to that. Went toe-to-toe with those guys, and just felt like, hey, we can play with the elite, but you got to train like the elite too. You know, everybody wants to be the best until it comes time to work like the best. And so, we got to see it on the flip side of the field, and it helped us understand what it takes to play at that level. And so that was huge, huge for us, and that was a big win for us. And, yeah, I couldn't be proud. You know, it was just, I guess it was the second best season in the history of our program. And, you know, as an alum, you know, from here, played here, previously coached here, you want to bring something to the community where the kids are esteemed about it, feel good about themselves. And we were able to do that and keep that going. And so we just want to continue that push and let that momentum keep going with these kiddos that are following in the footsteps of those guys that went before them.
Alan, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Stay safe. Appreciate it. Alan Hare, head coach at Salado. What a job he's done. Fifth year now. They've already had 8 playoff games. Note, they're in District 9, 4A Division 2. That's Region 3 with China Spring, Gatesville, Gerald, who's moved up, Robinson, Salado, and Connolly. And that's the district we're going to cover, obviously, heavily. The question about that district, of course, who survives? But the first round, they'll play, someone's going to play Carthage. Jasper's in that second round. And that district, that Carthage district, because Carthage dropped, it used to be Carthage and Henry.